Hi everyone, and welcome to next lesson of How to Become Top Teacher. I'm James, your host, and as always, I'm joined by the brilliant Lisa. How's it going, Lisa?
Hey James, I'm great. Excited about today's topic, cognitive approaches. It's like a teacher's cheat sheet for making lessons work better. What's not to love?
Exactly. We're diving into the nitty-gritty of how students learn, memory, attention, information processing, and, most importantly, how to turn all that theory into practical classroom strategies. Let's make it actionable.
Oh, absolutely. It's one thing to understand cognitive theory, but the magic happens when you can actually apply it. So, where do we start?
Let's start big picture. Here's the essence. Learners build knowledge on top of what's already in their long-term memory, but their working memory is super limited and gets overloaded easily. Attention is like the bouncer at the door. If students aren't paying attention, nothing gets in.
Right, and how students process information, whether they're just memorizing facts or really understanding and transferring knowledge, is key. So, as teachers, we've got to design lessons that activate prior knowledge, manage cognitive load, and encourage deep thinking. Sounds like a lot, but it's doable.
Totally. Let's break it down, starting with memory. Working memory is like a tiny desk, only a few things fit on it at once. If you pile on too much, it's chaos.
Exactly, and that's where long-term memory comes in. It's like a massive filing cabinet, storing organized knowledge called schemas. The trick is to help students connect new info to what's already in those files.
Right, and brain research backs this up. Learning sticks when students experience things and reflect on them. Plus, repetition and variety, like spacing and interleaving, help consolidate those connections.
So, practical classroom moves. Start with an advance organizer, that's a quick overview or concept map to show the big picture. Then, activate prior knowledge with targeted questions or quick quizzes. Keep content in manageable chunks, no marathon lectures.
And don't forget retrieval practice. Low-stakes quizzes or flash tasks that get students to recall what they've learned. Spacing and variety are key, too. Don't just cram one skill into a single lesson.
Oh, and dual coding. Pair visuals with words, like diagrams with explanations. It helps students encode information better. Got an example lesson sequence, James?
Sure. Start with a 5-minute concept map. Then 15 minutes of guided practice with worked examples. Follow that with a 10-minute paired retrieval quiz, a 10-minute application problem, and end with an exit ticket where students recall the main idea.
Love it. Okay, let's move on to attention. It's the gatekeeper of learning. If students aren't emotionally or cognitively engaged, nothing else matters.
Spot on. Attention is selective and limited, and emotion plays a huge role. If students feel unsafe or just don't like the subject, they're not going to engage.
And novelty helps too. Start with a surprising fact, a demo, or a story to hook them. Then, provide clear goals so they know what success looks like.
Also, reduce distractions. Keep slides simple and clean. Use signposts like headings or verbal cues to guide focus. And if attention drops after 10 to 15 minutes, plan a quick reset activity like a poll or a short task.
Great tips. Now, let's talk about processing, surface vs. deep, and Kolb cycle. Surface processing is all about memorizing facts, while deep processing is about connecting ideas and applying them.
And students approach tasks differently. Some are serialists. They like step-by-step instructions. Others are holists. They need the big picture first. Kolb's cycle ties it all together. Concrete experience, reflective observation, abstract conceptualization, and active experimentation.
So, for deep processing, make the structure explicit. Use concept maps, have students explain and compare ideas, and design tasks that go beyond simple recall. Reflection time is critical too.
Absolutely. Start with worked examples. Then gradually fade support as students move to problem solving. And always include opportunities for real-world application.
Let's not forget developmental sensitivity. Younger kids, around 7 to 12, need hands-on, concrete tasks. Older students can handle abstract reasoning, but only if they've got the background knowledge.
Good point. Always diagnose prior knowledge before diving in. You can't assimilate new info without something to hook it onto. And for older students, try hypothetical debates or thought experiments.
And then there's metacognition, teaching students to think about their thinking. It's a game changer. Teach them study strategies like spacing, self-testing, and summarizing.
Yes, and model your own thinking aloud. Ask students to set learning goals, predict how they'll do, and reflect after tasks. It builds self-awareness.
Lastly, social constructivism. Learning with others is powerful. Vygotsky nailed it. Students can reach higher understanding with social scaffolding from teachers or peers.
Use group work with structured roles, plan collaborative reflection, and include peer feedback. It deepens processing and supports knowledge transfer.
And don't forget assessment. Formative feedback is the engine of learning. Keep it frequent, specific, and focused on understanding.
That's it. So, a cognitively smart lesson includes an advance organizer, prior knowledge activation, chunked content, retrieval practice, and reflection. Add a transfer task and process-focused feedback, and you're golden.
Brilliant. And remember, the goal is to teach the mind while considering the whole learner. Emotion, social connection, and well-planned experiences matter just as much as cognitive strategies.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye for now, and happy teaching.